We are God's creations, each of us crafted for a purpose. We begin our journey as dreamers in a world filled with possibility. Nothing seems impossible. Along the way, we begin to settle and dreams are replaced with details. Routine takes over. We find ourselves listening to the thoughts of limitations, our purpose and desire lost in the flaring static of our lives. And still, in our deepest places, we feel a push towards something more, a sense that we were made for something greater. We yearn most for a life of significance instead of survival. Let's discover what was lost, restore what was diminished, and live out our purpose. It's time to dream again.
I think the case for most today is we like to talk about things that happened and things that took place, but we seem to lose the sense of saying what could happen and what could take place and dream again. We like to talk about, well, I remember back when and I remember how it used to be, and those, there's no way we can minimize how great those were. But those aren't going to take care of today, are they? All of the dreams that we had back then won't take care of the dreams, or we can't just redo the dreams that we've already had. You have to continue to dream. You have to continue to say, what does God have for me ahead? Not only what God has done for me in the past. And we thank the Lord for what he's done in the past. We love to talk about what he's done in the past. And we thank him and praise him for what? But he's not done. See, that's the case. That's the thing. He's not done. There's a whole lot more that he wants to see accomplished in your life and in my life and in this church and in this world. He wants to do so much more. And he wants us to continue to dream. We're in week three. Actually, we're wrapping up today a series entitled Dream Again. We've talked about, first of all, that we need to have God dreams, God-sized dreams, and God-honoring dreams. We need to not just dream what we want to do, but we need to see what God wants to do through us and have God-honoring dreams. And last week, we decided to look and see, now, if I want to have a God-honoring dream, then how is that going to take place? And Habakkuk helped us with that a little bit, showing us what all is necessary for us to find out what the dream that God has for us and for each and every one of us. And so we conclude today just a little bit more about dreaming. And I want you to get the idea that it's very important that we do dream, that we have God-honoring dreams, but then what do we do with those dreams after we see them and after they take place? Our main verse that we've been over the last few weeks is Proverbs chapter 29. In verse 18, that says, where there is no vision, the people perish, or they cast off restraints. But I love how the Message puts it. It says, if people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what he reveals, or when they get clarity, when they focus in, when they finally get rid of all the fog and get rid of the smoke, they can look and see with clarity what he reveals, they are more blessed, or I say it like this, in tune with what God is saying. So they have clarity, and they are in tune with what God is saying to them and what he's revealing to them, or, just two words, they dream. So we want to make sure that there is a vision, and that we don't just stumble all over ourselves and go so many different directions we don't know what anybody else is doing, all while having the same clarity and being in tune with what God says. So, how do we know if God is speaking to us? How do we know if it's God, even? I mean, I there's some vision, there's some dream that I have. Is it God, or is it something that I ate yesterday and not sitting very well? And what you got to know about dreams is we're not, the most of the time, and I can say the majority of the time, we're not talking about night sleep dreams, okay? That's not really what we've been talking about as far as if when I want you to dream and when God wants to reveal something to you. Dreaming is simply imagining things that you might do for the Lord. What is something that I could do for the Lord? And God is going to reveal those things to you. He's going to bring those things to your mind and to your heart so that you can see what God has for you. So before we go any further, let me help you to see and test to know that your dream is from God. You say, I've got a dream. I think I've got something. I've got a vision. I've got a little clarity on what I believe that I want to do. Well, let's make sure that it did come from God and not something else or someone else. And so the first thing you need to find out is, does it line up with the Bible? Does it line up with the Bible? Because you need to know this, that God is never going to speak something to you that contradicts Scripture. Okay? Well, I've got this is what I want me to do. Well, let's make sure that the Bible says that's exactly what God wants you to do. And if we find in here it says don't, well, then we need to scratch that dream. We need to go ahead and wad that up and throw it in the trash because that's not a God dream. God's dreams that he reveals to us, his vision that he reveals to you and to I and to a church and to a ministry is always going to be alongside what God's word says. The second thing is, will it make me more like Christ? Is it going to make me more like him? That's God's goal for you, to be more like him. To live your life in a way that his light shines out through you in everything that you do. Will it make me more like Christ? You know that God has a purpose and he has a personality. Who he is and what he does. And so we look at God and say, okay, is it going to make me what I want to do and what I believe God is showing to me? Is it going to make me more like him? Will this dream make me look like him? And will it make me accomplish what he accomplished while he was here on earth? Follow the pattern. Follow the example that Christ laid out for us while he was here. His dreams and his visions, the same dream that I have, is it going to help me to be who he is, more like him, and accomplish what he accomplished while he was here on earth? The third thing, do those in spiritual authority confirm it? Do those in spiritual authority confirm it? It could be a teacher, it could be a pastor, it could be a spiritual leader, it could be a close spiritual friend that you have. You talk with them, this is the dream, this is the vision that God has given to me. And you ask them, how do you feel about this? What do you think? Do you really believe that God would bring something into my life? A vision, a dream of what I'm talking about? Which brings me to this point, do you allow spiritual authority in your life? Do you allow someone to come alongside of you, not with a hammer and beat you on the head when you do things wrong, but to say, hey, it's time to get back in line. It's time to get things in focus. And I've been noticing that you've been kind of straying off and you've been kind of going different ways here and you're not really focused on the thing of what you believe God has for you. Or you need to get back on the path. You need to get back in line. So we all need spiritual authority in our life. Never think you've got to a point where you can't have someone else to give you advice, to give you understanding, to give you wisdom when you're following the Lord. The next thing is it focused on others? Is it focused on other people? Listen here, God's never going to give you a dream that makes you look great. If it makes you look great, then you've come up with the dream. And you think, wow, everybody, check me out. Look what I've done. No, remember, it's all about other people. It's all about leading people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. It's all about intersecting in your life, crossing paths with people that I will never cross paths with, but you do. And what are you going to do when you cross paths with those people? It's about doing something that impacts this world for Jesus. So if that dream is that, then you say, okay, I believe all four of those are exactly right. The dream, the vision that God has given to me, those all line up. And that's a test, and I believe that passes the test. Okay, you have a dream. Now, how do I keep from giving up on it? You ever given up on a dream? You ever kind of said, man, here's something I really want to do. Here's something I want to be a part of. Here's something that God has given me. And turn around 2 or 3 weeks later and you've totally forgot about it. You're not doing anything about it anymore. You're not pursuing it. You've kind of let it go off to the side. Do you know we all have days like that? Don't we all have days that we just want to quit? Just kind of throw in the towel? You ever had a day like that? I've had more than one day like that. You kind of just go, It's Monday every day this week for some reason. I mean, it's just a bad day. And it starts out bad and it keeps getting worse. And you go, I just want to quit. And I think we've all been there. Or maybe you're there right now. Maybe you're saying, I don't know how much more I can do. I don't know how much longer I can last like this. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13. No test that comes your way is beyond the course of what others have had to face. All you need to remember is that God will never let you down. He'll never let you be pushed past your limit. He'll always be there to help you come through it. We have a God that is fantastic, helping us to keep on going. When it's time to quit, when it says, hey, I'm just done, I'm going to throw in the towel, I've had enough, I'm tired, it's up to here, I'm not putting up with it anymore. God says, I know exactly where you're at, and I'm right there with you, and I'm going to help you come through it. See, some of you came in today, and you put on the Christian smile, and you put on the Christian clothes. But if we really knew how your day went or how your week went last week, some of you just feel like quitting. Even I can stand up here on Sunday and look all nice, smile, hair in place, what little is there. But you don't know what my week has been like. You don't know what I had to endure and what I had to face, and I don't know a lot of times in your life what you've had to put up with on Tuesday afternoon, on Thursday morning when the phone call came, or the email came. We all have some point in life, smiled on the outside, but are really wanting to give up on the inside. Why? A lot of times it's because we dream and then we expect it to happen right then. I've got this dream, I've got this vision, I've got this list of things that I want to see done in my life, that I want to see accomplished, that I want to be a part of, and I want it right now. But you know, dreams are conceived long before they are achieved. We can dream of something, we can have a vision, we can have a desire in our heart to do something, and it might take a long time before that really takes place. And then we achieve that. There's space in between the two. There's a dream, and then there's, can I keep going? The accomplishment of the dream. And often, I believe in that space, however long it is, we need encouragement to just keep going on. So let's get encouragement today from God's Word. Now, we can't help but look at the dreamer in the Bible. Maybe you already know who we're going to talk about when we talk about the dreamer. But his name is Joseph. Joseph had a dream. Now, he was the youngest of 11 brothers. He was daddy's favorite. We all know that because he wore around this coat that had what?
Many colors.
He wore the coat of many colors. And the brothers just didn't like it. The other 10 said, how come I don't get the coat? How come I don't get the fancy duds to wear? And so let's pick up in Genesis chapter 37, verse 5. It says, Joseph had a dream. And when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. Okay, so they already hated him, but now they're going to hate him a little bit more because he has a dream. Listen to this dream I had, he said to him. We were binding sheaves of grain out in the field when suddenly my sheaf rose and stood upright while your sheaves gathered around mine and bowed down to it. Oh, really? Says one of the other brothers. Ha ha! Seriously? Now, Joseph's dream didn't automatically, they didn't bow down that day, I guarantee you, did they? There was no, well, if that's the dream, Joseph, then just let us back up and bow down real quick. No, it wasn't accomplished that quick. Let's read a little bit further. Here, because the brother's kind of hanging around. In Genesis chapter 37, down to verse 19, here comes that dreamer. They're already talking about him. They're out in the fields working. They said to each other, I tell you what, we got a plan. Here's what they said. Come now, let's kill him. And let's throw him into one of those cisterns and say that a ferocious animal devoured him. Then we'll see what comes of those dreams. Let's see how many, if we bow down to him then. Now, at this point, wouldn't you, if you were Joseph, decide it's time to just give up on this dream? I mean, I would. First, they hate me because I wear this coat of many colors that my dad gave to me. Then I come to him, and I don't know whether it was the smartest thing in the world, but he said, hey, guys, I had a dream, and I want to tell you about it. You guys all, I stood up strong, and you guys all bowed down in front of me. What do you think about that, guys? Well, we're not too fond of that little dream, I don't think, Joseph. Because now they see him coming from afar, and now here comes that little dreamer with the coat of many color guy. You know him. I tell you what, let's just kill him. Let's just get rid of him. Let's throw him in a cistern, and we'll just say some animal devoured him. And let's see what comes of those dreams, those crazy dreams that he has. So let me give you some truths today that will help you not to give up on the dream, because Joseph didn't. Don't give up on your dreams, even if it doesn't start off well. Do you know that we all have excuses? We can all come up with excuses very easy for why the dream is not doing what it's supposed to. Well, it's too late for me. It's too late for me to dream. I mean, I'm past the time when I probably need to dream. And I need to look back. I need to reflect. I can look back on how God was so great and awesome back in my life. But my dreaming time, it's kind of over. But it's not too late. It's never too late to dream and to get a vision from the Lord. Or another excuse is, well, God can't forgive me for what I've done. I mean, if you knew everything that had happened in my life and who I was when I was growing up, God could never forgive me. But the truth is, He can forgive you, and He has forgiven you. You just need to forgive yourself sometime. See, when Jesus died on the cross, He paid for the sins of all mankind. And He's not sitting around and waiting for you to sin. And the moment you sin, you go, okay, I better forgive that sin. I better take care of that. That's, oh, look, look what they just did. I'm going to have to forgive them of that sin. No, He's already forgiven you of your sins, past, present, future. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And the truth be known, God has a history of using people that have horrible past. Saul was a murderer. He was murdering Christians, pulling them out of their homes and killing them right there on the spot. But yet, God chose him and gave him a dream and sent him around the world to spread the gospel, not to the Jews, but to the Gentiles. And would you like a little hint? That's you. That's me. A murderer brought us the gospel at the beginning. Matter of fact, Paul tells Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 1, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me, because He counted me faithful, putting me in the ministry. Although I was formerly, look at this, I was a blasphemer, I was a persecutor, I was an insolent man. That means rude, disrespectful, insulting. Know some people like that? And probably your first thought is, God will never use them. No way. But He does. And He will. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. Don't give up on your dreams, even if it doesn't start off well. Also, don't give up on your dreams, even if the journey is full of surprises. Because there will be surprises, I promise you. And there are going to be probably twice as many bad days as there are good days. Well, come on, Willis, can't you be a little bit more positive? You mean bunch of bad days and only a few good days? Okay, I'll be positive. I'm positive there will be a lot of bad days. There are going to be some surprises that you didn't know were going to be there. Let's go back to Joseph. If there's going to be twice as many bad days as there are good days, let's look at Joseph and what his dream, the dream took place and his journey through this dream. First of all, he was sold into slavery. Now, is that a give up or go on? That's a give up. Let's read that out. Okay, he's living in a strange country far away from his home. Is that a give up or go on? Give up again. He was given favor in Potiphar's house. Is that a give up or go on? Go on. All right, you give me favor in Potiphar's house, and I'll go on a little bit further. But now he's in Potiphar's house, and he is falsely accused by Potiphar's wife. Someone cried rape. Give up or go on? Give up. He was thrown into prison because of the false accusation. Going to give up or go on? I'm giving up. He was put in charge of all the prisoners. We have a good day. If you want to call it a good day, we're going to go on. But while he was in prison, he was forgotten by the cupbearer. Give up or go on? Give up. Remember, he told the cupbearer, hey, remember me. Say something to the king. Get me out of here. He forgot. So he remained in prison 2 years longer. Give up or go on? Give up again. And finally, he became second in command. Give up or go on? Go on. He told the dream of Pharaoh, and he was able to go on. There are always going to be surprises in your dream. There are going to be bad days, but there's going to be some good days. And I promise you, in the end, if you stay through and continue on your dream, there will be a good day that the Lord will see. Romans 8 and verse 28. And we know in all things. What does that mean? In your marriage, your employment, your family crisis, your money situation, God is at work. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called, or can I say, those who are dreaming according to his purpose. All things are going to work. Are there going to be some surprises along the way? I promise you, there will be some surprises along the way. So don't give up on your dream, even if it takes a long time to realize it. Don't give up. It's going to take a long time to possibly realize the dream, because that's just the way dreams happen. Remember Habakkuk from last week? Well, I talked to you about him in chapter 1 of Habakkuk, and he said, Lord, the world's in a mess, and I just want you to see that the world is in a mess, and what are you going to do about it? I need you to fix it, God. I need you to take care of it. And then God told him, and a little on and further on in chapter 1, Habakkuk, if I told you everything I was going to do, you wouldn't even believe it. You wouldn't even believe what's going to happen. And so Habakkuk decides in chapter 2, in verses 1 and 2, he says this, I'm going to watch, I'm going to withdraw, I'm going to wait, I'm going to read, write, and review. And we talked about that last week. He said, okay, God, if you're going to reveal something to me, then I'm going to get in a place where I can see it, where I can dream it, where I can have the vision. But I didn't read you verse 3 last week because we saved it for today. And it says this, but these things I plan won't happen right away. Slowly, steadily, surely, the time approaches when the vision will be fulfilled. If it seems slow, don't despair, Habakkuk, for these things will surely come to pass. Just be patient. They will not be overdue a single day. Isn't that great? I know you've got the dream. I know you have the vision. There's some surprises coming. But realize this, it might take a long time for that dream to come true. And slowly and steadily and surely, I will take care of it, the Lord says. And I promise you, it won't be overdue one day. It's not going to be late on God's time schedule, not on my time schedule. See, we live in a want-it-now society, don't we? I want it all, and I want it right now. I don't want to have to wait for it. I don't want to have to save for it. Matter of fact, I'll just go get another credit card. I'll open up another account. I'll do it here. And everybody wants it right now, the way. And that might work in a microwave, but it doesn't work in trying to follow God. You don't always get everything that you need right at the moment that you think you need them. The problem is, we watch a little TV, but God sees a big screen. We see today. We might see a little bit of tomorrow, but we really only see today of what's actually going to happen. Who knows what tomorrow holds? But God sees a lifetime. Matter of fact, he sees eternity in one look. We see today. We see the little TV. And God, it's not happening like I thought it was going to happen. It's not taking place like when I thought it was going to take place. And God says, you're looking here. I'm looking back here. I'm seeing everything. And I promise you, it's going to take place. The dream will come to pass. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we don't give up. Just don't give up on the dream. I know you just see the today. I know you just see a small portion of it. But realize that the God that we serve and the God that loves us more than we can ever imagine sees the whole picture. And he wants to accomplish each and everything in your life that he's brought to pass in you and wants you to dream. So let me give you three principles along the way, or can I say in the space between the dream and the finishing of the dream. Let me give you three things, three principles that can save your life if you'll apply them to the dreams that God brings your way. First of all, I need you to remember this. Recognize and value the process. Recognize and value the process. Why? Because God does. He loves the process. Matter of fact, he sees it all and he values the process that he's taking you through in that dream. Because when something is happening to you, God wants to do something in you. When it's happening, God's not going, well, I'm waiting on them to get to where they're supposed to be. No. He loves the process of taking you through that dream and fulfilling that dream. And he wants to accomplish something in you while it's happening to you. God doesn't bring trouble, but he will use it sometimes. He will put trouble in the way, and he uses it for our benefit because he wants good for us. But we get caught in, God, hey, can you rescue me from, and you name it. And God says, I will, but hey, let's learn something. Let's learn something a little bit. While you're going through this, let's make it beneficial. Let's see the value in the process that you're going through. See, God's not interested in your comfort. God's interested in your character. He wants you to be more like him. And if we don't recognize this, and if we don't value the process, do you know that life is really going to be a bummer? It's really just going to be a letdown. If you don't value the process that God is taking you through and bringing and the things that he brings in your life, if you don't value that God is trying to accomplish something in you through all of that, you're really going to have a bad life. So it's time to value the process. Life is not what happens to me. It's about how I respond to what happens to me. 1 Peter chapter 1. So be truly glad. Well, thank you, Peter. You don't know what I'm going through. Yes, I believe the Lord does know what we're going through. So Peter says, be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead. Even though the going is rough for a while down here, these trials are only to test your faith, to see whether or not it is strong and pure. It is being tested as fire tests gold and purifies it. And your faith is far more precious to God than mere gold. Yeah, it's rough. But God wants you to value the process that you're going through and know that in the end, incredible things are going to happen. Rick Warren puts it this way. Every storm is a school. Every trial is a teacher. Every experience is an education. And every difficulty is for your development. Every trial, every storm you're going through, it's simply just school for you to learn more. How to be more like God. How to live your life more in tune and focus with Him. Every trial that comes your way, it's just teaching you that God's not going to put you down here and make everything a bed of roses, but He is going to make the trial to teach you how that you can live your life more in tune with Him. Every experience, it just educates you a little bit more. That's why I love sitting around talking with people sometimes. Things that they have gone through, I can learn from that. And maybe we need to learn from the experiences of other people and getting wisdom from other people. And every difficulty that I have is simply a development to help me to be more like Christ. Peter tells us, and now James tells us in chapter 1, my friend, consider yourselves fortunate when all kinds of trials come your way. For you know that when your faith succeeds in facing such trials, the result is the ability to endure, to go on. So I need you to recognize and value the process in this space between dreams and dreams being accomplished. The second thing I need you to see is to refuse to let offenses stop you. Refuse to let offenses stop you. You know that there are some people, it seems that their calling in life is just to make your life miserable. You ever been around some of them people? I mean, it seems like, is it just your goal to make me feel bad and to make me feel terrible about myself? Joseph was sold by his brothers. They wanted to kill him. But Joseph, 40 years old now, and lo and behold, the dream comes to pass. They do bow down before him. The dream did come true. But you know how long it took? Some scholars say it took almost 22 years. For that dream to take place. Wow. Refuse to let the offenses stop you. Genesis chapter 50, here's what he says. You intended to harm me, but God intended it all for good. He brought me to this position so I could save the lives of many people. I have a dream. I have a vision that God's placed in my heart. What is it about? It's just simply to lead people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm going to have some bad days, some terrible days, and I'm going to think it's time to give up. It's time to quit. It's just not worth it anymore. And many people are going to just offend you and everything. Oh, you can't do it. It's not going to happen. Don't worry. Don't even try. Why don't you just do something else? Why don't you just give up and do something else? Why don't you just quit? You intended it to harm me, but God intended it all for good. And He brought me to this spot. He brought me to this place, to this position, so that I could lead people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. That's my words. So church, let's dream. How about it? Let's recognize and value the process. Let's refuse to let offenses stop us. And let's also remember that God is always with us. He's always with you. So, are you feeling lonely? Are you feeling exhausted? Are you feeling beaten down? Do you feel like it's just time to quit? Matter of fact, it's just time to throw in the towel. It's time just to stop. We tried it. It's not working. Let's just quit. Let's stop. I don't want to go on another day. I need you to remember that God is always with you. Follow on the screen. Genesis chapter 39, verse 2. The Lord was with Joseph, so that he prospered and he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. Genesis chapter 39, verses 20. Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. But while Joseph was there in the prison, the Lord was with him. Psalms 46 and verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in time of trouble. Psalms 139, verses 8 through 10. If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 8. Don't be afraid, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 19. They fight against you, but will not overcome you. Why? For I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 20. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. How, Lord? And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. I think it's time we start dreaming. I think it's time we start dreaming again, because we have a God who will never leave us, never forsake us. Let's start dreaming. How about it? Let's determine to simply lead people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. Let's fulfill the Great Commission. How are we going to do that? We've got to value the process. We've got to throw off the offenses. It can't be done here. It can't be accomplished. It's already happened and it can't happen again. We don't serve a God who quits. We serve a God who continues to love us and encourage us and mold us and shape us. And all he asks is this: will you just focus on me? Will you just keep your focus? Don't get distracted by everything else. Keep your focus on me. And when I focus on God, you know what he does? He just simply directs my attention to everybody around me and says, those are the people I want you to reach. I'm going to let you cross paths with people in your life. Don't miss the opportunity that I'm giving you to lead them into a growing relationship with me. Let's continue to dream, continue to fulfill the dream, and to dream again. What does God want to accomplish in your life? Only the Lord knows, and only you know what he can do in you if we will simply listen and follow his direction. Will you bow your heads with me? I never want to get to the place where I don't dream, where I don't realize that God still wants to accomplish something in my life. And through me, I want him to just give me dreams. So, and I pray that for each and every one of you, that you never get to the point of just looking back instead of looking ahead. What does God have for you to do? I can tell you this. If you're still breathing, God's not finished with you. Let that soak in a minute. God's not finished with you yet. simply focus on Him. Heavenly Father, thank You that You are a God that continues to help us dream. I pray today, Lord, that You'll give each and every one of us God-honoring dreams. Vision that helps us see ahead. I pray, Lord, that we will take the proper steps to find out what those dreams and those visions are. There needs to be a time that we withdraw, that we simply wait, that we find in Your Word truths that will guide us and direct us, and that we write them down, and that we continue to go back to them so that we can refresh them in our mind, what You want to accomplish. And as we see today, Lord, it's not going to happen overnight. But we do know that once we have a God-honoring dream, that You are going to accomplish it in and through us as Christ followers. And I pray today, Lord, that we'll value that process. Are there going to be bad days? Yes. But Lord, You help us through those bad days. You get us through those times when we can't get through on our own. You lift us up and You encourage us. Help us, Lord, to put off the offenses and to simply realize that You're always going to be there for us. And Lord, as we see You give us God-honoring dreams and we value the process and we throw off the offenses and realize that You're always there for us, help us in turn do that to other people. And may it be our goal, our mission, our desire, just to simply lead other people into a growing relationship with You. Exactly what You've done in our lives. And we pray this in Your name. The name that is above every name. The name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Would you stand with us, please, with your heads bowed, your eyes closed, and maybe you'd just like to come forward and say, God, give me a dream. Or maybe you have a dream and you realize that it is from God. Lord, help me to accomplish that dream. Whatever it is today, I pray that you'll meet the Lord today and let Him work in your life.